everyone, and welcome to Trek Freaks, part of the Geek Freaks Network. On this podcast, we talk all about Star Trek and anything that Trek takes us. My name's Kevin. I'm joined by Jonathan.
Hey, hey, yo.
And we got three people. I'm joined by Frank.
Hey, guys, I'm tagging along for this one.
Oh, my gosh. We have the three-person crew here. We've all three been on a whole lot of episodes of Trek Freaks, but we've never been on the same episode together, the three of us.
It's pretty exciting. It's funny.
Monumental. Monumentous is what this is.
Yeah.
So Trek Freaks is going through a little bit of a, what do we want to call it, a discovery period. We're kind of figuring out what works, what you guys like, what we like, and how to kind of mesh all that together to make a show that we all are proud of here and that you guys are proud to listen to. So we're going through some changes. We'll talk about that a little bit. But we also want to go over some of the highlights from seasons 1 and 2 of TOS so far, because, man, this show, doing Trek Freaks, has opened my eyes to a lot of TOS aspects that I didn't really pay attention to before. What do you guys think about TOS so far?
Yeah, it's a really good show. I just didn't realize so many of the stories kind of mirrored each other or repeated throughout it. And I've seen a lot of the episodes before, not, you know, paying close attention, but now analyzing them, you're like, oh, yeah, we saw pretty much that same character 3 episodes ago. And it's just funny, but, you know, funding and whatnot back in the 60s was hard.
I've enjoyed seeing how much Next Generation learned from TOS. Mm-hmm. There are so many times where you see something in TOS and you're like, oh, so they fixed that in Next Gen. Because I think I've maybe seen like maybe 1 or 2 episodes of TOS. I know I've watched The Cage, but it has been kind of eye-opening. There's some really great characters and some really interesting stories. But, you know, hey, Next Generation really did a lot of work, and then the other ones built on it.
Yeah, TOS really was a foundational series. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't imagine. It sucks to think about that this show that I cannot believe how much shit I've talked about the original series, but how it's the basis for my favorite TV shows of all time. And just how it's grown over the past 60 years, it's nuts to think about.
And it's funny when you watch some of your favorite episodes and you can see how it's like almost a direct copy of a TOS episode. They just change the skin and maybe delved a little deeper. But there's several episodes, especially in Voyager, that I watch the most, that it's like now watching these, like, oh, so that's why they're doing this. They saw the original TOS one and they wanted to like replicate that a little bit, get that flavor into their pot. So that was just funny.
On the Voyager note, Tuvok being the first full Vulcan character that we get as a crew member on any Star Trek series, how it takes that show kind of takes what they did well with Spock and amplified it for Tuvok.
Yeah.
I think Tuvok might be my favorite character in the Voyager show, maybe second to the EMH. What do you guys think? I know you guys love talking Voyager here.
Oh, yeah. I love Tuvok, and I especially love the dynamic of him with Neelix, because it's just like polar opposites that work, that play so well together. So I think like having Tuvok is a great character, but if they didn't have Neelix, that really would have taken from him. It would be balanced. But the two of them together is a perfect combination to me.
You guys watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? That's what Tuvok and Neelix are.
Yep.
It's exactly those two. I want to see them on like a road trip across America, you know, getting into some shenanigans together. I love those two. I hate to be this guy, but it's the captain. Captain Janeway in Voyager to me is the best character. She is such a role model, and like so many times she does something that's just like, oh, Janeway, you badass. I love her.
Yeah.
She's always like, I compare it to Mass Effect, the video game, a lot. If you play through as a renegade, you're still doing the right thing, but sometimes you do it a little bit the wrong way, but you have your reasons for it. That's how I see Captain Janeway. The Tuvok Neelix comparison, though, we get a lot of that with Spock and McCoy, I think. Maybe not to the same degree, because they're not polar opposites like Neelix and Tuvok are, but man, I gotta say, any episode that had a lot of back and forth between Bones and Spock was... it was just good writing. I love the actors. The characters were so well written. It was good stuff.
And I see both those guys in different stuff and, you know, podcasts and stuff like that all the time. I'm wondering, can we not get them together for like a buddy cop drama or, you know, a Star Trek, like they both got thrown in the past and now they have to find their way home, but make it a series? That'd be hilarious.
That'd be great. Yeah. McCoy is such, he's the heart. He's the moral center. And, you know, Spock, of course, goes logic all the way. and then they meet in the middle, and that's where Kirk sits. And it's just such a, I mean, I don't know if they plan on it. They had to have. It works so well. And I think that, to its core, beyond warp drives and cool star effects or anything like that, that trio is what made Star Trek possible. And going forward, we see that they knew that, like, hey, you know what? We have to have a really good second in command. And we have to have people on that crew that he could bounce ideas off of. Because, I mean, Riker was the next one. And it's like, perfect. You know, nailed it.
Yeah, I went through the episode list earlier today and trying to like make notes of my favorite and episodes and stuff. And the thing that I noticed most was that the episodes that I liked the most were the character driven ones, not the random story enemy of the week episodes. And they really did. Like you said, they took that forward in Next Generation and beyond. They made much bigger casts. They made the secondary crew feel more like the primary crew, more than just the main three characters. TNG had like seven main characters, and I think they kept about that number all the way through to current day. It's kind of great to see how they expanded on what TOS set up.
Yeah, I think after that, all of them kind of did that, right? They kind of picked their seven, and you'd have like the flavor of the week where like, oh, remember this one down in engineering? He's out right now. Voyager had their serial killer episodes that were really fun.
Oh,
yeah. There's some spicy ones here and there, but overall, you kind of had like, hey, here's our core seven, who's, you know, LaForge week, you know, and then we all watched him. And so I think they figured it out after that.
So before going on, did you guys have a favorite episode that we talked about, or favorite episode of TOS through season 2, episode 21 that we've talked about?
That's hard. It's hard to narrow down to one because they all got different reasons why they're good. I think one of the funnest ones that we reviewed, thinking back, was the Squire Gothos, because we go back to that one a lot. Yeah. It was just a funny episode and a really well acted, I think, character in Trelane. But I think story wise, the City on the Edge of Tomorrow or City on the Edge of Forever, the time travel one, I think that was one of my favorite ones based on like the story.
I think Jonathan Googled one, like best episodes of TOS. And he's in the list.
I was going through the list of all the two seasons. And then I wrote down those two and the episode Arena where he fights the Gorn, the lizard guy.
Oh. Yep.
That was another. It's like, that was a good episode. And I remember you, Frank, before mentioning that there was an episode somewhere where there was a failed like special effect explosion that gave the guy tinnitus. That was the episode. I actually looked it up on IMDb. Okay. That was the one that, so they all, the trio all suffered with tinnitus ever since that episode.
Isn't that crazy? That's a dedication right there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you want to talk about fun episodes, we have to talk about, was it The Naked Time? It was very early on in season 1. So it was one of the first episodes that was released, but it was the one where they were all on the crazy drug. And you got Sulu walking around shirtless with a sword and everybody running around being just like very crazy versions of themselves. That episode had to have been fun from an actor's and from a writer's, producer's, everybody's shooting it. Just had to have had a blast doing that episode.
Yeah, I wonder how it is to act like a crazy person like that. Because I've heard like acting drunk is really hard. Like a lot of actors don't like to have to act drunk because they feel, you know, like they're not doing it right or whatever. But I wonder how acting like you're insane or hopped up on some, you know, adrenaline drug or whatever, if that's the same kind of challenge or not, or if it's just fun and you get to improvise and act silly. Yeah.
Yeah. I know for like off topic, I know for Rick and Morty, Justin Roiland, actually, like he gets drunk for some of Rick's scenes. Like he actually gets drunk in the studio to be able to do those ones.
It's a good job.
A lot of it's ad lib and stuff like that. And you could tell because they're like, ooh, this is a good episode. This is a good acting right here. And it's like, oh yeah, he's hammered.
Yeah. At least he can remember his lines when he's hammered. That's pretty good skill.
That's
right there.
The thing is they let him ad lib him. He doesn't have lines. It's just like, your job right now is to make sure that Rick tells Morty to get on the ship, and so then he just like hammered me, you know, sloppy his way through.
Slurs it out. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I would be remiss if I did not just. I want to bring up one more episode before we move on, and it is Balance of Terror.
Oh yeah,
that episode is. It is my favorite episode of the original series by far. It introduces us to the Romulans. It's like a submarine warfare type episode, but it's very intrapersonal with the politics and the personalities behind Kirk and the Romulan commander. Mm-hmm. And we get to see how that moves forward into Strange New Worlds, or rather, I guess, backward. But how that plays out with another perspective during season one of Strange New Worlds. My God, that the lasting effect of that episode, just with the effect that it had on Strange New Worlds alone, makes it a great episode. Mm-hmm. But in and of itself, it's a fantastic episode.
Yeah, I like how you see, you know, in the enemy ship, but you're seeing back and forth, kind of, you know, both sides think they're doing the right thing and they're being good. And then obviously that's what war is both sides defending their own cause. But yeah, it's a good perspective.
As the Trek Freaks editor, a lot of times, I mean, back especially when that episode was, so season one, I watched every episode before I edited, so I kind of knew if you guys needed a clip or kind of got an idea of what you guys were talking about. So I didn't care for that episode the first time I watched it. And I think a lot of that was because I have to like kind of speed watch it or just watch it real fast, half paying attention, just so I kind of know what you guys are talking about, and then edit the episode. So I don't think that episode breathes a lot, right? It lets things sit. It lets words sit. And so the second time I watched it, which was after the end of season one of Strange New Worlds, because of course it's a redo of that episode, I was like, oh, I got to watch the original again. And actually watching it on my terms, sitting down and enjoying it, I was able to enjoy the episode a lot more. And it's not a fast romp or anything like that, like we get sometimes when they're just being mafia bosses, but it was a good episode. It was a very good episode.
Yeah, because you kind of have to sit and stew in that tension that they're feeling with each other. That's a big part of the episode, is that suspense of war, that tension of war.
Yeah. Doesn't do good when you're like, guys, I got to edit this, and then I got to, you know, so that that part didn't do well for that episode. But,
trying to watch it at time and a half or double time online.
I wonder.
Not this, but other things, I haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
I wonder if watching the episode, The Alternative Factor, the Lazarus one, under any different circumstances would make that episode any better, or if there's just any way at all to save that episode, because that was bad. That was garbage.
Yeah.
There's a few of them that are that way. We're just right? Like, but oh, why did you do that?
I love talking about the bad episodes too, but yeah, going forward with Trek Freaks, we're going to talk, it's not going to be following episodes chronologically. We're going to like pull from our favorites, pull from our most hated. We're going to pull from you guys what you want us to talk about. Doesn't even all have to be about episodes of Star Trek. We're going to be talking about Trek news, stuff going on with just anything around Trek. We're going to talk about the Orville, I imagine, because the Orville is basically Trek. I'm excited to see where this goes, because it's going to take Trek Freaks where it has not gone before. I'm very happy and excited for that.
Yeah, me too. We've talked about this for a long time too. Like we've always hinted at how we would love to just jump to some of our favorite episodes. We're like, no, we should go slow and chronological order so we can review every single episode. But this is going to be so much more fun. I mean, especially when there's news of, you know, like this is a perfect example that Strange New Worlds has an episode related to Balance of Terror. Is like, oh, cool. Well, after we, you know, talk about this episode or whatever, we can jump back and review this old episode that relates to what we just saw and just have a lot more fun with it, too.
The episode, The Tholian Web, from season 3 of Star Trek, the original series, it's not a wonderful episode. I don't remember it being a bad one, but it directly leads into a mirror universe episode of the prequel series Enterprise. So watching that episode, The Tholian Web, and then a couple episodes of Enterprise, it was a two-parter in A Mirror Darkly, which are some of my favorite episodes of the prequel series. I think doing stuff like that, like having a mirror universe just discussion, having a discussion on transporter accidents, just things like that, that it really broaden the horizons of what we can discuss.
Yeah. Or and like specific characters too. If you wanted to do an episode that we just review, I don't know, whoever's your favorite character of a different show, and then we could touch on like which episodes have big changes or growth in that character. Like that kind of stuff would be fun too. I'm looking back at just season one, TOS season one episodes. I'm like, I love Harry Mudd. I want to see if he's in any more TOS episodes. There's only like three of them, I think, in that we've reviewed so far. But he's such a fun character, so it'd be cool to see where else we could find him. Sorry, go ahead, Frank.
Mudd's in the animated series, because I just did that episode list and saw that there's an episode based off of him.
Oh, really?
So, boom, there you go. The other thing I think is going to be really nice is being able to pick episodes based on the events in the world, because a really great example of one of those situations where, like, luckily you, me, had happened to have dinner that day because it was your son's birthday. Nichelle Nichols passed, and the episode happened to be, like, the worst episode possible to discuss with Nichelle Nichols just passing, so I think you and me, I mean, it was, Kevin was moving at the time, so I was filling in from the whole time. And I think we did the best we could do with it. But I think under normal circumstances, if something like that happened, I would rather, like, hey, let's talk about the best Nichelle Nichols episode possible and really highlight her, and not be like, okay, let's put that to bed. Now let's talk about her, you know? So
yeah. And that doesn't have to be
all things like that, you know?
In the future, things like that, like with our new format, that doesn't have to be an episode-centric episode. You know, we could just be talking about Nichelle Nichols and our episode revolve around her and her work and stuff like that. So I think it will have a little more flexibility moving forward. It would be nice.
Yeah, I bring this up every freaking week, but I want to talk about Lower Decks.
Yes.
Jonathan just told me a couple days ago that he was going to go through and try to watch the rest of Lower Decks that you've missed so far. I stick by what I said. Don't force yourself to watch it. You will not enjoy it if you do that. If you have time and are in the mindset to watch a lighthearted Star Trek that can sometimes go deep, then you should watch it. Don't, unless there's like a specific episode that we're going to talk about on this show, just watch it at your leisure, man. That's when it's at its best.
I also like, I usually will watch something on my lunch break at work. So it's, you know, 30 minutes that I could put on whatever. And if I have to watch half an episode at a time, it's fine. But I want to get caught up, since we'll be able to actually talk about the newer episodes and the news and stuff like that. I want to get caught up on all the shows that I haven't seen. So Lower Decks and Prodigy, I watched, I think, the first season of it.
I haven't done any Prodigy.
Yeah, I think a second season's out already. So it's like, I want to...
It's the second half of season one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I want to get caught up on all that.
Yeah, it's episode 11, and I've seen it all so far. Mm-hmm. I'm probably not going to bring up Prodigy very much unless somebody specifically wants us to, or something's happening with it that's so big that we have to talk about it. But Prodigy is a well-made show. It's definitely a kid's show. It's not for me. I watched it. The latest episode just came out last week. I watched it with my wife, and we both thought it was an okay episode of Star Trek, but not an okay, not a great show altogether, because it's a Nickelodeon show. It's for kids.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm remembering now that I completely forgot to put it in the actual like list of episodes that we put together on the Google sheet. There's no tab for Prodigy. Oops. I forgot about that. So, Jonathan, though, for Lower Decks, like, I'm like thinking of like, oh, I want to make sure to tag in on that one. I want to tag on this episode. You know, I'm kind of already thinking of the episodes I want to jump in on. The season two finale of Lower Decks, I put up against pretty much any episode of Star Trek altogether.
Really?
That's such, and just a reminder, actually there's another one too, but the one where they have to take off the outside of the ship. You know what I'm talking about, Kevin?
Yes, yes.
So well made altogether, an excellent episode. And then there's one where they actually show like Lower Decks on other ships too, which I think should have won an Emmy.
That one really might be, I forget, is that one just called The Lower? No, there's an episode of TNG called Lower Decks.
No, that's
Decks.
The only episode in all of Star Trek that has a Klingon name. And it is Lower Decks in Klingon, though.
That's right. Yeah. Man, that episode, I agree, you should have won an Emmy. It is probably the best written episode of Star Trek.
Isn't that crazy?
It's insane. And I'm not just saying that for shock value. It's crazy. It's so good. But you have to know the characters already to be able to get it. But you also don't at the same time because of how the story's written. It's so good. Damn it.
I just jump in one more time. The excitement that you have, Kevin. So when I'm editing these episodes, sometimes when it's a dud episode, I almost want to put a disclaimer like, by the way, these guys like Star Trek. I almost feel like I have to put that in the episode somewhere, like maybe in the show notes. Trust me, guys, they actually do like the show. It's just this episode. The excitement that you guys have over talking about good episodes and episodes you like, that's what's going to be fun. I can't wait to hear those. Yeah,
I'm so happy that we're going to be skipping around, too, because as much as I was looking forward to watching the animated series, I don't think it was that well regarded. So we can watch a few episodes here and there and see what we think. And the first season or two of TNG was kind of like basically seasons 4 and 5 of TOS. It wasn't that good either. It wasn't until like the third season that TNG really broke out on its own. And that's when Star Trek just took off, skyrocketed. Yeah. And that's the Trek that I like, is from then on, is like almost consistently good.
So that's going to be our next challenge too, is figuring out how do we pick what episode we want to review next. You know, I know we've had people suggest that we do certain episodes and stuff like that, and that'd be great. People write in, you know, we can review the specific episode that they're interested in. But there's so many good episodes to just pick. And maybe we need to make a bucket or a jar or something like that of like our top, like we'll pick our top 10 episodes each and then we pick one out of a hat or something like that every week.
I bet I could do a randomizer based off that Google sheet, actually. I think I could probably do something where it like picks a random slot in one of that in that Google sheet.
Okay.
Yeah. That I did. That way it's like, and then it'll like, hey, there you go.
I was going to say that after this week, we're going to be taking a little break for an undisclosed amount of time. I'm not sure if it's going to be a couple weeks or longer while we kind of exactly work out what we're doing. And the holidays are coming up, so there's that too. But we have a discussion here quite frequently about who our favorite captain is. And obviously, it's two against one Janeway versus whatever I pick. So what I want to do at some point, this doesn't have to be the first thing, but I would love to be able to pick the episode that best exemplifies your favorite captain and put it up against every other captain's best episode.
Can it be a two-parter?
I don't see why not. Yeah.
Year of Hell all
good
the way.
Luck, buddy. Oh, Year of the Hell's going to win everywhere.
End game.
I actually just watched the intro to Endgame today. How crazy is this? By chance, I watched the intro where it's like Admiral Janeway drinking alone in her quarters and watching the screen where they talk about Jane. Or, oh, remember 20 years ago, Voyager came into town. Oh, yeah. God, I love that show so much.
So good. Year of Hell is a really cool episode, but I kind of think Endgame, that was probably the best ending to a series I've ever seen. It was insane.
Avatar: Last Airbender ending. I'll throw that out there. But you know what? One of the episodes that's disliked by most people, but actually like a Voyager, is the one where she keeps tweaking the holodeck to like make the perfect man to date from Fairhaven. He's the bartender.
Oh yeah.
People hate that episode. I really like that episode because it's like Janeway just like being a normal person, like having to deal with like agency and what she's actually seeking and knowing that as a captain, like you guys have talked about with Kirk, dating the ship, really, her priorities have to be different. And so that's a really good episode that shows like the humanity side of her. And another one is where her and Chakotay are stuck on a planet. And we could all wish that they just, you know, freaking monkey ruin things.
All right.
But there's so many of those episodes that are going to be really fun to kind of discuss. Because I think some of those need to be discussed when you're talking about the best of Janeway. Because she's not just like making cool decisions.
Yeah. So maybe what we should do in that instance is actually make a series of like five episodes that best set up. Because if you guys have not watched Deep Space Nine, I know the one episode that I would pick for Deep Space Nine to say that Sisko is the best captain. And anybody that's watched all of DS9 is a fan of DS9 knows the episode I'm talking about without me even saying what it is. I don't know the name of it, but it's the one where he's actually doing a captain's log directly into the camera, breaking the fourth wall the entire episode.
Wow, that sounds cool.
That episode is so freaking good. I was almost gonna swear. Ooh, even man. Yeah, it was so good. But you have to have the context of his growth as a character from being Commander Sisko in a red shirt to being this grizzled war veteran during the Dominion War to do what he did in that episode, and how he's a bad guy who did a bad, or he's a good guy that did a very, very bad thing for very good causes, and how that, in my opinion, that makes him the best captain. Oh, it's just so much to discuss.
Boy, you pitched it though. I'm excited to watch that. That sounds so good.
And I like that idea of doing like a five episode run or something like that, so that we have like, you know, the best of Sisko and like the best of Janeway, or like what makes them, you know, really frame out what makes them a great captain.
That'd be really hard with Picard, though, because he has so many good episodes. Yeah. He is like the exemplary captain. Like he's the Starfleet guy. Like he's who Starfleet looks up to when they don't know what to do. So there's so many. There's just so much good stuff in Star Trek, and I cannot wait to talk about it all.
Yeah, that's gonna be fun.
I really liked back in the day when people bought like DVD book or boxes. Guys, check my bedroom. Like literally, it's a huge section of my wall. All DVDs I've bought, you know, Jonathan. And so I used to buy like they used to come out with like all the best of the time travel episodes, the best of the Q episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I own both those, and I would love to do that too at some point. See you guys do like, hey, here are the best time travel, because I think Star Trek does some of the very best in time travel. And I've always liked time travel as a gimmick. And of course, Q, like, think about, like, now that you guys done the Trelane episode, doing the best of Q episodes and then talking about, like, oh, they took this from Trelane, or, hey, this is a little bit of that Trelane showing up. That's going to really build on the episodes you guys have already done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And on that note, the Mirror Universe as well, because we don't see, we already did the one Mirror Universe episode in TOS. That was in season 2 of TOS. It was the 4th episode, Mirror Mirror. That's the only time the Mirror Universe is brought up until Deep Space Nine. And in that time, there is so much that happens in the Mirror Universe. Like, the Terran Empire is totally destroyed, and they're basically the slaves of the galaxy now. And it's so great. Then after that, with Discovery and other shows, we get little glimpses here and there of what happened in between, and like what happened to the Terran Empire in the Mirror Universe. And it's so good.
Discovery has like one of the best mirror episodes, I think, in my opinion. They did such a good job with it.
They have a couple episodes too. Like, there's at least 3, I think, episodes that are in the Mirror Universe in Discovery thus far.
Yeah.
I would love to see the Mirror Universe in the whatever century they're in now.
Imagine if they just did another series from the Mirror Universe. Wouldn't that be pretty awesome? A new series?
That's something else we could do, is like headcanon our own Mirror Universe episodes.
Oh, there you go.
But from Spock, who's like the one guy who's decent over there because of the effects, because he's kind of a decent guy now. Man, that would be interesting. And then, so just a reminder, but with Discovery, I can't remember her name, but they actually, like, the captain from the Mirror Universe is actually in Discovery from then on out.
Georgioa.
So,
Georgioa, yeah.
Yeah. There you go. I still can't say it after hearing it twice. But, so you actually have a mirror character in our universe, and she's a big badass the entire time. And they were going to make her own series, but I think they scrapped it recently. So, yeah.
Did they actually scrap that?
I think they, or at least backburnered it, you know.
I think she left when they did that time jump, right? Because she couldn't be in a different dimension and time at the same time.
They jumped her back. She's back in our time. And she's in the secret, like the Sector 23 or whatever, 32.
Section 31.
I nailed it. There you go.
Sector 32.
The 501st. Oh, no.
Yeah, of course. Ooh, there we go. Now let's get an episode. So they were planning on her like running that, doing like a whole secret ops version of this. And then also, with Orville, like, I really think it's a smart move to do some Orville episodes, because if you guys haven't given that show a shot yet, I cannot suggest it enough. It's so good.
I would love to
pick the best of.
It'd be fun to do a series. I mean, we could do just mini series within our show too, like you're saying, like 5-episode runs or something. But it'd be fun to do one that's just about like your favorite holodeck episodes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, on Voyager, it'd be Bride of Chaotica for sure. Oh, I mean, there's so many good ones though. But there's
Fairhaven's so nice.
Yeah, Fairhaven. That'd be fun to just have episodes where we're just talking about different holodeck episodes.
I think Sherlock's going to take the helm on that one, though. I think Sherlock from Next Gen is so iconic, and actually Moriarty's now going to be in the Picard season 3. Mm-hmm. I think that might take the cake on that. And I haven't watched like a lot of that, but I think fan-wise, I think that's everybody's favorites.
There's a Hirogen episode of, I think it's either Prey, I think it's Prey, where the Voyager crew are captured and used in their ship as prey in the holodeck, so they keep having to get killed and then brought back to life, and they're simulating World War II with the Hirogens.
Yeah. Except for poor Neelix, who's over there simulating as if he's a Klingon.
Right.
Oh, that's so funny.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's just so much more we can do with this, and with this setup, we can actually implement more of the input that we get from you, the listener.
Yeah.
So, we're going to be relying on you guys a lot to let us know what you want to see on Trek Freaks going forward. There's, as you can tell just by this conversation, we could talk for another hour just about how much we love Lower Decks or something. Let us know what you love about this kind of stuff, because we want to talk about what you want to hear, what you want to listen to, and want you guys to join in on the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's going to be segments, a lot more segment-based, so... And those segments will move in and out. So, like, generally, they're going to be reviewing episodes each week. But, hey, you know what? Let's talk about Discovery's latest episode. Like, so it's going to be something where if you guys have something, an opinion you want in, maybe they can make dedicated title 5-10 minutes to a topic you guys bring up. So let us know on the social media. Everything's going to be linked in the description. Follow along and then, you know, voice your opinion. We'll make sure to add it in.
One thing we talked about, too, is kind of scaling back on the episode review itself, which I think is a great idea. It's fun that we go through the episode, but it's fun to just highlight what was interesting and exciting and not really break it down scene by scene. So I think we're going to continue to do the warp speed recap when we're reviewing an episode specifically, and then just touch on certain highlights, but not go through the scene by scene analysis. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, keep it light and airy.
And getting into the news, I there's always, I mean, not always, but there's a lot of times exciting Star Trek news, but it's like, well, the way our show's formatted, it's kind of stuck in time because we're going sequential. So it's like, I don't know if we can really bring up, you know, hot new Star Trek news. So we usually just leave it out, but that'll be fun to be engaging with what's going on currently.
As an example of that, I wanted to talk about just for a brief minute of that Geordi LaForge. The actor that plays him, LeVar Burton, has a daughter named Mika Burton, who I said way back. I can't remember when I said this. I think it may have been on an episode of a podcast at some point that Mika Burton should play one of LaForge's daughters in either Picard or a TNG movie. And lo and behold, season three of Picard, she is playing one of LaForge's two daughters in that show. I am excited for that. Nice. I have not been pumped for anything related to Picard. Because the show's not that good. It's not my Star Trek. It's not for me so much. But yeah, that's the other thing I like talking about is the new Trek versus the classic Trek versus there's different eras of Trek. Oh, there's absolutely. The original Trek with that I think includes some of the movies. There's the TNG, Voyager, DS9 era with Enterprise kind of thrown in there. Then we've got this whole new run of Star Trek that I think is going to overshadow anything that has come before it before too long, because it's just so much of it getting pumped out all the time and it's all quality.
Yeah,
and
those ones in the middle, like the 90s, like they were very similar. It was all the same flavor, but now, I mean, to some extent, this newer stuff is all branching out so many different directions that if you don't think you like Star Trek, it's just because you haven't tried the right one yet. There's a different mm-hmm. version for everybody, I think. And that's awesome. Like, I'm glad they're kind of broadening it so everyone can enjoy sci-fi just from, you know, the style they like.
Yeah. I think it was Kyle that was like, oh, which one should I jump in on? And he was thinking Void, or he was thinking Discovery, because it's like, oh, that's the one that's going on right now. Like, no. Strange New Worlds.
Strange New Worlds, absolutely.
Yeah. That's your starting point from here on out. And then once you get a little of everything, then you go Lower Decks. But I kind of feel like Lower Decks might be the Star Trek fan Star Trek. So yes. Might want to wait on that one a little bit.
Yeah. I'm realizing that Lower Decks is kind of like Star Wars Rebels, in the sense that if you watch Rebels without like really liking the rest of Star Trek, like the Clone Wars and all the movies, you're not going to care so much about Rebels. But if you watch and like all of Star Wars, you're going to like Star Wars Rebels. That's definitely the case with Star Trek Lower Decks. I was just thinking of that when I was watching Tales of the Jedi earlier this past weekend.
I gotta watch that. I'm guest starring on a different podcast tomorrow, and we're talking about Andor and Tales of the Jedi. I'm like, oh shit, I'm behind on both.
I'm not gonna try to branch off too much into Star Wars on this show, but Andor is also very, very good.
I'm enjoying it.
So I want one more thing thrown out there before we leave. And I'm sorry, Jonathan doesn't have much to do. I don't think you're going to have much input on this one, unless you want to. But Frank, did you watch all of season three of Lower Decks?
Not yet. I just finished. I was kind of wanting to binge it because I was like, man, I'm watching with, you know, everything else is so much good TV on right now. Like, let me just binge it once a time. So it just finished. It's time to binge.
Okay, so never mind then. I mean, you can totally just erase everything that I just said.
Okay.
I was hoping to end it with like a short review of something current.
Yeah, I just watched the first like three episodes and I'm like, you know what? Let me save these up because I think that's my best move right now.
I kind of just want to end things off with talking about the future. What show are you guys looking forward to coming back the most when it comes to Star Trek? Jonathan?
Strange New Worlds, I think, is my favorite right now. Yeah.
What about you guys? What about you, Frank?
That's such a good question. I really don't have an answer for you. I would like to see Discovery save itself. Like, I think Discovery, man, sometimes when they hit it just right, like season two, wow. Ooh, amazing.
Yeah.
And season whatever we're on now, four, oof, that was a tough one to watch. When the ship has emotions, come on, guys. You know, so I'm excited to enjoy Discovery again, because Discovery does things that the rest of Star Trek doesn't do with its crazy warps and the ships that have, you know, floating nacelles. It's just neat to see. So I can't wait to see what they do next.
And Paramount has the funding. And now that Star Trek is really, you know, been going really well, and Discovery started, you know, reignited that fire. So we don't want to let it burn out. I just hope they do need to do some retooling and just kind of change what they're doing a little bit. So I hope they do. I hope they invest and keep that show going.
I like to think Trek Freaks of going from season one of Discovery to season two of Discovery right now. Yeah. Just think of it that way, guys.
Just we're watch changing out for season three.
The Klingons are going to look normal again.
I think that Discovery is kind of like the proving ground for the Star Trek that came after it. Like, it proved that there is a hunger for more Star Trek, and it introduced us to Captain Pike, which has now led into this show that I'm also going to put Strange New Worlds as the one that I'm looking forward to coming back the most. It's led to that show. I think even the short treks for what they were to some extent led to Lower Decks being a thing.
Yeah.
And it was all based off of Discovery coming back to, or Discovery as well. So it all at some point does tie into Discovery. So I also don't want that show to do poorly, but it needs to find what it is outside of just being an emotionally heavy show and be like find its identity.
Actually, I think they need to say, like, guys, we're done after season seven, and then just ride the story out and actually make sure the story completes well, you know, because one thing we don't talk about much with Discovery, not to keep branching this off, but is the fact that it's kind of forging a whole new century the way, you know, TOS and Enterprise in a way did. Like, it's actually kind of setting up like, hey, from here on out, now this is canon. And that's a lot to be canon out of a show that people keep talking bad about. So, like, you guys need to have a certain endpoint. Season seven's a great point. And just like, this is the story from here on out. Let's make sure we wrap things up and make it look clean. Because you're leaving a legacy behind, and it better be a good one.
Yeah.
Well,
it's like a new version of TOS to me, like the way TOS kind of started out. Like, it was fun, especially for its time. I imagine it was, you know, revolutionary. But when looking back, it's like, oh, those are pretty rough episodes, and it's kind of repetitive. Funding wasn't great and stuff like that. Well, you know, Discovery, though, we were super excited when it first came out. Now we're like, oh, yeah, these stories kind of, you know, questionable, but it's launched so much other stuff. So, you know, we need it as a stepping stone. But yeah, maybe like you're saying, Frank, it should kind of have a life, an expected end date so that it isn't stretched out too long. And
then
do another
Star Trek to fill, because I know what Alex Kurtzman, the guy who's running all of Star Trek right now, he's the Kevin Feige of Star Trek. Fill it in with a different one. Do a whole new Star Trek, a whole new area. I'm cool with that. Something that takes place after what's the last, like, I think Next Generation is kind of like the, I don't know, whatever. I don't want to figure it out and get myself in a hole. So whatever, after like the normal canon, I'm cool with that.
I like how Kevin Feige is like a job title now. Like, you're going to be the Kevin Feige of this.
Spoiler alert, if you guys listen to the latest Geek Freaks, we talk about how James Gunn's the new Kevin Feige of DC, because that's now the job title of him.
Was somebody buying DC? Not to branch off, but wasn't somebody buying DC?
No, like, Warner Brothers. So in a way, but basically what they've been doing is trying to find their Kevin Feige, and they did in James Gunn and another guy nobody cares about. Now they're Kevin Feige. And so, and matter of fact, like literally the first thing James Gunn did, he said, is I called Kevin and let him know, and like, hey man, what do I do? And so, and Kevin, like, they have a really good relationship, because of course Guardians of the Galaxy 3, or Guardians of the Galaxy. So that's cool.
Yeah. Nice.
I just want to say, if you guys that are listening to this like these kind of branching off conversations, that's what Trek Freaks is going to be going forward. But if you really like the topics that are outside of Star Trek that we branch off to, Geek Freaks, if you're not already listening to it, it's the Mothership channel, or the Mothership podcast. Give that a listen, because that's all we do over there, is just gush about stuff that we love, all about geekdom. So yeah, definitely go check that out. That's all we got for you guys this week. Let us know what you guys want to hear from Trek Freaks going forward, because as I said before, we want to make this show work for us and work for you guys, because we're going to make this show together be the best that it can be. And yeah, until then, Transporter Room 3 to beam up.